All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back again. The Mush Squad podcast episode JG motherfucking 12.
Hey!
We out here, baby. And again, we're sounding like a broken record out here on the Mush Squad podcast, but the sports world is revolving around football. And none so more than last week, which was arguably the best weekend in football history for viewership. For people watching, for the games, competitiveness. So we'll run down the NFL divisional round games, talk about the real winners and losers, talk about what's next for the NFC and AFC championship games. We will share some insight. We put together a little flow chart over here of coaches and GMs, different movement and rumors that are coming out now. We'll talk about the MLB Hall of Fame. We'll touch on that with Big Papi Ortiz being the sole inductee into the Hall of Fame this year. We'll go down to Patrick Ramsey, Random Athlete of the Week, which are QBs to play in the Super Bowl but never win the Super Bowl. Our Mush Squad Bets of the Week. We'll give you guys an update on where we're at with the Mush Squad giveaway on Instagram, see what we got going with that. And then we'll end it with some words for Mr. LeBron James, who, as Waj just tweeted out a few moments ago, is named one of the 10 all-star starters. We'll run to this real quick just because it is brand new breaking as we speak. Your Western Conference all-stars for the NBA all-star game are as followed. LeBron James, captain from the Lakers.
Obviously.
Nikola Jokic, Nuggets center. Steph Curry from the Warriors, Ja Morant from the Grizzlies, well-deserved. And Andrew Wiggins from the Warriors.
A little surprise there.
On the Eastern Conference, Kevin Durant from the Brooklyn Nets is your captain. Trae Young, Atlanta Hawks point guard. DeMar DeRozan having a career year in Chicago. Giannis, I'm not even going to try to say the last name, but Giannis. And Joel Embiid. So both teams stacked. I think the Wiggins pick is kind of just the Warriors fans flexing their muscles
just going
a bit.
Crazy voting for him.
But excited to see what potentially happens for three-point and slam dunk contest this year too. But again, that's enough NBA talk for now. We'll hit that in 3 weeks when the NFL is over. 12, let's run down these divisional round playoff games, the matchups. Like I said, the best weekend in football history. Four walk-off like wins.
Insane.
So first one we'll talk about, the Saturday first game, is Bengals and Titans. Bengals come out with the victory 19-16 over the Titans. Your boy Joe Shiesty, aka Joe B, Joey Burrow, his second season in the league, AFC championship game already. What are your thoughts on Burrow and the Bengals?
I mean, absolute insane game with the Bengals. The Titans tied an NFL playoff record, sacking him 9 times, and he still had enough poise. He still had enough composure to, at the end of the game, throw a couple good passes and get him into field goal range with a chance to win the game to go to the AFC championship game. And I touched on it a little bit last week. It's like he's still riding that momentum that he had at LSU, winning the championship, is now coming into the NFL. And they're the funnest team probably, other than, well, obviously the Chiefs.
Yeah.
But they're definitely one of the up-and-coming funnest teams to watch in the NFL. Jamar Chase, again, 5 receptions, 109 yards. That's just another Sunday for that guy. But Tannehill, 3 interceptions. The first play of offense that they had was a play action interception. So, I mean, when you're the number one seed, you can't take an L, I feel like.
You have Derrick Henry in the backfield. Why would you not feed the beast from jump?
Like, stop getting too cute. Do what works. Do what got you there. Like, that's the hardest thing for coaches when they get into these situations, that they overthink themselves. And it's like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Right. And we got to give kudos. First off, I got to give kudos to you, because when the stat came out, I want to say 6 or 7 weeks ago, about this Bengals offense, all under 25, 4,000 yards passing, 2,000 yards receiving, 1,000 yard rushing. You hit it on the head and you said, this team is out kicking its coverage right now. And they're having fun. And they're going to be together, this core of these five or six offensive stars. We're not even talking the tight end. What's his name? Uzama. He's a stud too.
Yeah, he is.
This team's going to be together for the next 5 to 8 years. So, you know, congrats on the Bengals. We'll talk about them when we go to the conference championship round. But I got to give kudos to Evan McPherson, former Florida Gator. This dude's got a motherfucking leg on him, man. 4 for 4, hit the 54-yarder to win it. Now, Tennessee obviously isn't a dome. It wasn't 15 degrees and freezing. It wasn't snowing or anything, but it's still a 54-yarder outside against the elements. And, you know, my favorite thing about the whole thing is when he's about to run out onto the field before he goes to kick this game winner, he runs past Burrow and goes, guess we're going to the conference championship game. So gotta love it.
Which is just like, coming from a rookie, from a freaking kicker kicking a 50-yard field goal outside. Like, that's the swaggiest thing I've ever heard a kicker do.
And I think for the season, he's only missed one field goal. So, you know,
and they did draft him.
He got drafted. Yeah, I think he was like 4th or 5th round. So
yeah.
Big ups to McPherson. Big ups to the Bengals. Let's move on to that Saturday night game. My lock of the week, my mushbot bet of the week was the Packers -6. I thought it was a sure thing. And the 49ers go into Lambeau and beat the Packers 13-10. Aaron Rodgers is now 0-4 career against the 49ers, the team he grew up idolizing, the team he thought he would have been drafted first overall to them when they drafted Alex Smith back in the day. But what are your thoughts on this matchup? Obviously not the high scoring game we were expecting out of the Packers. Did the Packers blow it, or did the Niners show up for the game, or was it a combination of both?
I think I have to eat my words on the last podcast. I kept saying how much of a sure thing that we don't know about these games, but this game was a sure thing that the Packers would blow them out. So I kind of ate my words on that prediction, but I think the Packers just laid a freaking egg. How many times do you need home field in Lambeau and another team comes in and just beats you? The Niners were the worst special teams unit ranked in the NFL. And how'd they win this game? By a blocked punt and a blocked field goal. It's just, playoffs are unbelievable. Jimmy Garoppolo went farther in the playoffs than Tom Brady did this year. I mean, kudos to that coaching staff. Kudos to the defense for holding Aaron Rodgers to basically nothing on offense.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's like one of those teams where it's like, it kind of reminds me of when the Giants made it, where like their team is nothing special, but they just keep winning somehow. It's aggravating. Yeah, absolutely. It's aggravating, but it's just like, you have to give credit when credit's due. And it's just Aaron Rodgers that we put it on the Instagram about how the Niners are going to regret not taking him for years to come. Niners have yet to regret that for years to come.
Niners have yet to lose to him in their
matchups.
It's crazy. I think the Packers just blew it. They laid an egg, 7 points total on the offensive side of things. You have the MVP, you have arguably the best wide receiver, and you have this two-headed duo of Aaron Jones and who's the other guy I'm thinking of in the backfield for the Packers?
AJ Dillon.
So both of which are starting running back caliber running backs. And you score one touchdown on the opening drive. They looked great on the opening drive.
And I thought, okay, this is how it's going to go. Every drive, touchdown, touchdown, touchdown.
And then they went 3.5 quarters without scoring another touchdown.
Insane.
You know what I mean? Garoppolo started 0-for-7 in this game. Okay. And that kind of shows you where the Niners' weakness is. You know, a lot of controversy with what Jeff Garcia and Mina Kimes have said on social media this week about Jimmy Garoppolo. But the fact of the matter is, Jimmy Garoppolo is one win away from playing in another Super Bowl. with the 49ers, with Kyle Shanahan. So, again, he gave credit where credit is due.
It's crazy, too, because he's 5-1 in the playoffs.
5-1 in the playoffs.
Which is nuts. Like, Cowboys fans, we would die to have that record.
5-1 in the playoffs. Speaking of another quarterback who has had immense playoff success, Mr. Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Bucks on Sunday hosted the LA Rams down in Tampa Bay. And our third game with another walk-off, another kickoff to say, Rams 30, Bucks 27. Got to give all the love to our boy Matt Stafford, who finally in the playoffs after, what, a 14-year career,
yeah,
finally have weapons around him. You know, he had a lull this season of about 5 or 6 weeks where he was throwing a lot of interceptions, making a lot of mistakes. But he's playing lights out in the playoffs. And it does help to have someone like Cooper Kupp to throw the ball up to at the end of the game. He was 28-38 in this game, 366 yards and 2 touchdowns. That final pass to Kupp. So if you didn't watch the game, I don't know why you're living under a rock, but the Rams were up 27-3, up 24 points, and they had 4 turnovers, including 3 fumbles lost by Cam Akers, which not a good game. But
twice going in to score too.
That would have put the game away. Held to a field goal or didn't score at all. Brady rattles off the 24 straight points. They tie the game on a 4th-and-goal run from Leonard Fournette to tie the game. And there's under a minute left. And Stafford, Hail Mary, throws it down the field to Cooper Kupp. Kupp ends up with 183 yards and the touchdown. And they set them up in field goal range, where the field goal kicker hit the game-winning shot. Thoughts on this game? Thoughts on the matchup with the Rams going to the NFC Championship?
I mean, watching the game, I mean, everybody watching probably was saying to themselves, oh, shit, here we go again. Tom Brady down by this, coming back. They're going to end up winning. But Stafford stepping up, making a play when they needed to make a play. And if you've watched Detroit Lions games in the past, you know there was always something about Stafford, his arm strength, his poise, his quarterback composure, that he is a good football player. It's just he never had anything close to a team in Detroit. And we touched on it almost every podcast during football season was he's just not used to the spotlight. But, I mean, every game is going to give him experience. And now he stepped up, made a play, and the Rams are now 1 game away from the Super Bowl. And actually, I wanted to go over that last drive where they actually scored when the Bucks tied it up. There was 42 seconds left.
42 seconds.
So they kicked it off, touchback. Stafford got sacked the very next play, called a timeout. Then he completed a 20-yard pass to Kupp. Then he completed the 44-yard pass to passed the cup with 28 seconds left, but they had no timeouts left. Everybody had to run down the field and they had to spike it. And it was just executed perfectly.
Oh, so you're saying that a professional football team led by a quarterback had good clock management?
I mean, I've yet to see it, but yeah, that's what I'm saying. I thought I saw a unicorn for a second, but yeah, it's a beautiful thing to say, to see, you know, what McVay's bringing week in and week out, a great offensive game plan. And they had a great offensive game plan in this game to beat the GOAT, send the GOAT. Well, actually he stayed home kind of because it was in Tampa. So he's staying home now. And now the Rams are hosting the NFC Championship against a division rival, the 49ers.
And with the end of the Bucks season, obviously Brady's like 136 years old at this point. The rumors are already swirling about potentially retirement. His wife, Gisele Bündchen, has been saying for the last decade she doesn't like him playing anymore. She wants him home. I mean, the man's won everything under the sun. The man's got more than enough money, just opened up his new clothing line, so he's got more money incoming. Gun to your head, is Tom Brady a starting quarterback week 1 of the 2022 football season?
Gun to my head, yes, he is. He's such a competitor. He said, I think he was quoted that when he feels like he's not going to be able to be at a top performance or a top performer week in and week out, that's when he'll step away. And every year he just keeps breaking the Bucks record. So it's like, why would you stop? When you saw Peyton
second in MVP this year,
when Peyton retired, it was hard to watch him throw a football, and his body, like physically, he couldn't do it anymore. And that's always like, just keep going. I mean, yeah, it's nice to go out when you're on the top and you you're the best at whatever you do. But shoot, keep going. Why not?
Keep going. If he's able to stay upright, which was a challenge against this Rams team between Aaron Donald, Von Miller, Leonard Floyd in the middle too. Yeah. It was a challenge.
Talking about their offense, their defense played a hell of a game too.
Oh my God, Sue went like crazy, dude.
Von Miller almost touched Brady every single play.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they got a good team.
Yeah, the Rams have a good team. And then if we didn't have enough heart palpitations, stomach ulcers by the end of the Bucks game on Sunday, the main event of the weekend was the final matchup, the final game, the rematch from last year's AFC Championship game. The Chiefs versus the Bills, Kansas City and Buffalo in Kansas City again. And the Chiefs win the game 42-36 in overtime. And for those of you who have similar group chats to like what we have with our buddies, the rest of the Mush Squad, there was a window of about 7 to 10 minutes where the only things in the group chat was, holy shit, what the fuck? Oh my God. Like over and over again. The fourth quarter. Oh, first and foremost, let me read through some stats. We'll get your insight on the matchup. And then, we'll break it down. So Josh Allen in the loss, 27 of 37, 329 yards and 4 touchdowns, an additional 68 yards rushing. He's the first quarterback to do that. Those stats, 320 and 50 yards rushing or more. And then Mahomes also did that, 33 of 44, 378, 3 touchdowns, and 69 yards rushing. So it's the first time in NFL history two opposing quarterbacks played each other, threw for 320 or more, 3 touchdowns each, and 50 yards rushing each or more. Josh Allen, I can't speak more nice things, more kind things about this dude. This guy went off in the postseason against the Patriots. He had the 5 touchdowns. Against the Chiefs this week, he had 4 touchdowns. Finished in 2 games, 637 yards, 9 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. And the reason the Bills lost this game, and this is where I want to bring you in, 12, and break it down. No pun intended, you're 12, but there were 13 seconds left on the clock, and not trying to throw salt in the wound with your clock management issues in Dallas, but Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs are a professional football team and know what they're doing when it comes to clock management. So break those last 13 seconds down, what they did right, what the Bills potentially did wrong, and how they were able to get down the field, down 3 points in 13 seconds to get a field goal.
Well, first and foremost, my head was right where yours was when, they could do it, but the Cowboys can't. But they did, their one timeout did help them. But the Bills just, they were playing the sidelines, trying to let the guys go out of bounds. And what they gave up the seam to Kelce, and there's a cool video that's been circulating where Kelce's like, I'm not even going to run a route. I'm just going to go to open space. And you see Mahomes in the back, like double clutching the ball. And then finally seeing him in the open area, which they go down, they call timeout. Yep. And they eventually kick the field goal to go on to tie the game, send it to overtime. And then that after that, the Bills, you could just see it. Their hearts just got ripped out of their chest. Because, I mean, everyone thought, like, oh, shoot, the Bills are really going to do it. There's only 13 seconds left. There's no way. But, I mean, Mahomes did it again. He does it all the time. And It just sucks for Josh Allen. Sucks for Gabriel Davis.
Future just, Mush Squad first team. Gabriel Davis.
I mean,
boy, went crazy.
Boy, that the route that he ran that made the D back fall on his ass was legendary. He finished 200 yards receiving, four touchdowns. Four touchdowns in a playoff game, bro. Yeah.
On the road. Lose. On the road.
And you lose.
You lose.
But, however, I will say we touched on this in our friend group chat that the way to manage a situation like that, which it's a little gray area, but you hold the receivers at the line of scrimmage. Just tackle them.
Yeah,
the play clock is going to run. There's going to be another untimed down, regardless of how many plays, how much time runs off the clock. So instead of the 13 seconds and two plays, it probably ends up being, what, 6 or 7 seconds, and then that's one play, and that's it. Yep. 5 yards up, one play, and that's it. Now, I could see the other way around where they're holding, but let's say Mahomes takes a deep shot. Oh, now it's pass interference, spot foul. But you know what? I'm taking my chances. I'm putting two people on Kelce, two people on Tyreek Hill, and just freaking bear hugging the shit out of them.
Yeah, the Bills did a lot of things on that last defensive drive. You could call questionable. Listen, I'm not in the booth. I'm not the defensive coordinator on the sidelines. I don't have the experience to do that. But you got 13 seconds left. What you want to do as a special teams unit slash defense is give the ball back to Patrick Mahomes with as little time as possible.
Absolutely.
You do that by not kicking it out of the back of the end zone. You do that by squibbing it.
Yes, that's another point. Say
you squib it and it only gets to, I don't know, the 40 to 35 yard line of Kansas City, maybe 3 or 4 seconds runs off. So you're looking at 9 or 10 seconds from the 35 or 40, as opposed to 13 seconds from the 30.
Exactly.
And quarterbacks, including Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, who have arguably the best two arms in the league, 40 yards is nothing to them for a pass. And when you have Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and the weapons with the speed and the agility, you could get your chunk plays like they did in those two plays to set it up. But, you know, the video of Kelce running to the open space, knowing where to fall down, when to fall down, call the timeout, the time management skills is why the Kansas City Chiefs are a perennial Super Bowl contender. This will be their fourth straight AFC championship game they've hosted, looking to go to their third straight Super Bowl. And when we talk our Mush Squad bets of the week, you'll hear a little bit more about who I like in this upcoming AFC matchup. But what I do need to touch on, we'll touch on this very quickly, is the overtime rules for playoffs. John, do you like them? Do you think things need to be changed? Because I saw a tweet that I am 100% aligned on, but let me get your thoughts on it first. What do you think of the playoff rules? Coin toss, first team to score wins, the touchdown, yada, yada.
I hate the NFL overtime rules. I mean, regular season, all right, you could do sudden death. That's fine. But playoffs, like, it's not fair that the Bills didn't get a chance to match or whatever. So you can see, like, the argument already is maybe do some type of college where each team gets the ball and then you take it from there and then keep going back and forth. But I could see, like, oh, well, then these two teams, they probably would have scored 100 points each. It would have never ended. Then you throw in the two-point conversion or this and that. But, I mean, they got to come up with something that's equal where, like, the coin toss isn't the most important part of the game.
Right.
Especially for a game that matters so much, like the playoff game.
Yeah.
But, it's just a shame that it's the freaking coin toss that decides whether you win or lose, especially in that type of situation where it was like whoever had the ball last is going to win the game. And unfortunately, Chiefs won the coin toss and they scored right away.
And what I saw on Twitter, John Buchagross from SportsCenter, he's doing a lot of hockey stuff recently. He retweeted it. He endorses it. I'm aligned with it. I think this is a genius idea. It kind of blends NFL and college together. So the NFL overtime rules stay the same, with the exception of one change. If the first team, team one, so in this case the Chiefs, score a touchdown, they have the option to kick the extra point and get the seventh point, and then the Bills get the ball. Or if the Chiefs go for two and get the two-point conversion, the game's over. Now, there's a lot of strategy in this because you have to think, if you're going for 2 points, you have to decide, is it, after you score the touchdown, is it more likely for you to score the two-point conversion or stop the other team from scoring the touchdown? So it's same rules as now, but it only ends after one possession with 8 points, not six or seven. The team can go for two and go for the win. If team one, in this case, the Chiefs, needs to decide if it's more likely to get the two-point conversion rather than preventing the score. And a team can only lose on the opening possession like the Bills did if they give up a touchdown and a two-point conversion, which is giving up two touchdowns in two consecutive plays. So yeah. I like that. It gives the second team a chance because, John, if you're the Chiefs, you get the touchdown, you hit the field goal, then the Bills go, the Bills get the touchdown. You can block the extra point and lose. You can go for two and not get it. You can go for two and get the win. So a lot of options, a lot of more game planning and strategics.
I like that one a lot too, because that's like a little twist. That's like, that could be like the NFL's own little twist of, instead of like copying college, and then the NFL has like their own type of thing. So I'm on board with that.
I like it. So let's talk conference championship weekend. We got two big matchups. Both of them are going to be on Sunday, your 3 p.m. game on CBS. Cincinnati Bengals at the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs are -7. Cincinnati did beat the Chiefs back week 17, so 4 weeks ago, 34-31. That was a barn burner itself. That was the game Burrow had 446 and Ja'Marr Chase had 266 receiving. Thoughts on this matchup? I'm assuming you're not going to lean towards a defensive struggle here.
I mean, the way that the playoffs have gone thus far, it's hard to pass up the 7. But I mean, since he's the young guns, they got so much swag on that team right now. I think it's going to be a close game again. Maybe it's
going to be a close one. We'll talk about that. I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. Second one, NFC championship game. That's going to be Sunday, 6:30 on Fox. You will have the San Francisco 49ers visiting the Los Angeles Rams. Rams are -3.5. Two matchups already as divisional foes this year. Week 11 and week 18, both going to the 49ers. Will they make it a third time? What do you think in this matchup, Niners at Rams?
Going to have to revisit this one later on in the show.
Okay, we'll revisit this. What I will say is that the Rams are a very well-oiled machine right now. And the additions they made during the offseason and with Von Miller during this season spoke to what their weaknesses were in prior seasons. So I'll leave it at that. I'll let you kind of do a little more description when we get to our Mush Squad Bets of the Week. Two more things before we hit on that coaching and GM carousel. Big ups to Mr. Big Ben Roethlisberger earlier today, announced his retirement after 18 seasons, two Super Bowl championships, top five all time in win percentage for a starting quarterback. Thoughts on Big Ben hanging up the cleats?
I mean, he should have retired about 3 years ago, but let's celebrate him for now. Yeah. But yeah, definitely the epitome of a winning quarterback. You know, year in and year out, that the Steelers were going to be fighting in the AFC North for the division, and Big Ben was going to get them to the playoffs. But kudos to him. Great career. He's a part of that draft class with Phillip Rivers and Eli Manning, often overlooked, but he's a hell of a freaking quarterback. And
that he was. Side note, this weekend that just passed with the NFL games, they changed the times up a little bit. It wasn't your regular 1:04 and 8:20. It could just be the old and washedness in me, 32 years old, wanting to just wake up early and get shit done. and not have to stay up till midnight watching football. But give me 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, and 6:30 kickoffs every Sunday. Give me those times every fucking Sunday.
They try to tweak it too much, looking for like the prime time slot where they can get as much viewers as possible. Yep. But yeah. Make stop with the late starts, man. Make that shit early.
Like that in the college championship, college national championship this year kicked off at 9:02.
Oh, I know. Come on.
I'm in bed by that time, you know?
I'm snoozing.
Let's talk the quick update on some NFL head coaches, new coaches and new spots, GMs and stuff. I'll just run down this little flyer I put together and let me get your mindset on things. The Broncos announced today that they have named Nathaniel Hackett, the former Green Bay Packers offensive coordinator, as their new head coach, taking over for Vic Fangio. George Patton stays on as GM, but the Broncos bringing in an offensive coordinator from the Green Bay Packers. Thoughts on that? Wink, wink, well, nudge, nudge.
There's already been speculation that Davante Adams and Aaron Rodgers are going to kind of be a package deal wherever they go, which honestly makes sense. I mean, you don't need to work with him. You already have chemistry with him. So you take the offensive coordinator, add him in the mix. Davante Adams signs there. It kind of makes sense that Aaron Rodgers would just end up there too. But they definitely got the cap space. They probably have the draft picks available. So that's going to be that. I'd probably put him. I mean, he's used to playing in the cold already. Right. In Green Bay. So, I mean, I'll put that right at the top of the list.
And you know what? The offense that Hackett's going to put in, Rodgers can run that with his eyes shut. You know what I mean? So it's like the only thing he's going to have to do to potentially get accustomed to Denver is the altitude and like telling the equipment guy what kind of shoulder pads he likes. You know what I mean?
And you know what else I was thinking about? If Davante Adams goes there, you know what kind of receiving core that gives them? Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton, KJ Hamler,
Patrick.
What?
And Davante.
Crazy.
We'll see. Bears also announced today Matt Eberflus. He's the former Colts defensive coordinator as their new head coach. They brought in last week Ryan Poles as their new GM, replacing Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy. Bears have forever been, in my eyes, a defensive first team. Bringing in a defensive coordinator who got that Colts defense playing on all cylinders over the last few years. I think it's a good move for the Bears.
I am not crazy about it because I feel like that's a good move. If you have an established veteran quarterback there, you have a young quarterback, Justin Fields. I always feel like you need an offensive minded coach that's going to come in, find a quarterback guru, work with the young quarterback and get him up to par and probably best out of him, period. But I mean, I could be wrong. Like you said, Bears have been a defensive first team for forever. So, I mean, good for him. Like you said, Colts defense was definitely had some players. They definitely played well the last few years. So, yeah. I mean, I was surprised Dan Quinn was getting thrown around there. He announced today that he's staying. So,
big win for you guys.
Big win for the Cowboys with that one.
Saints with Sean Payton announcing he's stepping away from the team earlier this week, have interviewed Bucs offensive coordinator Byron Leftwich, Lions defensive coordinator Aaron Glenn, and their own defensive coordinator Dennis Allen. I think Dennis Allen should be a shoe-in for replacement to kind of keep the ball rolling there, but who knows what New Orleans is thinking.
Let me throw something in about Sean Payton.
Yeah.
That there's been rumors. He's already linked to Dallas. I mean, you know, Cowboy fans, they're ridiculous. But the reason why Tony Romo got drafted, this is a little off topic, but this is Cowboys trying to get back into it. Sean Payton's the reason why Tony Romo got drafted because Sean Payton's from Northern Illinois, and Tony Romo was a 2-time D1AA player of the year from Northern Illinois. To get the Cowboys back, hire Sean Payton, come up with some type of compensation to get McCarthy out of there, bring on Romo as the offensive coordinator, and we're going to the fucking Super Bowl, bro.
Romo makes too much money as an analyst.
Romo is a competitor, and he is waiting to come into coaching. Trust me.
Wow. Okay.
And he is loyal to the Dallas Cowboys. There were plenty of teams throwing bags at him to not retire, but he just wanted to play for the Cowboys and no other team.
Yeah. All right. Well, back on Earth. So this came out earlier today. I think it was Pro Football Focus. The Jaguars are tied to Byron Leftwich to be their new head coach. But from what all accounts are saying, Leftwich wants nothing to do with GM Trent Baalke. So the rumor is they're giving the green light to Shad Khan, and they're going to hire Byron Leftwich and fire Trent Baalke and get a new GM.
That's crazy.
Dysfunctional franchises doing dysfunctional things. Okay. But again, no set in stone head coach yet. Trent Baalke still has his job as the GM for now in Jacksonville, but more on that to follow. Vikings, they did hire because they did replace Mike Zimmer as head coach, and they can the GM as well. They did hire Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, who was the director of football operations for Cleveland, vice president of direct football operations. So someone with football knowledge, been in the league for 15, 20 years. Vikings have head coach ties. There was Dan Quinn, but he rebuked and pulled his name away. A lot of very familiar names on this list. Todd Bowles, defensive coordinator for Tampa Bay. Raheem Morris, Los Angeles Rams defensive coordinator. Kevin O'Connell, the Los Angeles Rams offensive coordinator. And then Kellen Moore. My gut's telling me if Dan Quinn is staying in Dallas, Kellen Moore might also stay in Dallas. But yeah, a lot of options. Vikings, we talked about this 2 or 3 weeks ago, potentially the best setup team when it comes to talent and athletes and players. They just need the right guy running the show.
And you know what? If you look at all these available head coaches, like it's a decent bunch of like young minds mixed in with coaches that have head coaching experience prior. And it's like, you're not going to get no slouch. Like these guys, it's their time. It's their time. And they've paid their dues, and they definitely deserve a shot being a head football coach.
Absolutely. Dolphins did fire Brian Flores, kept Chris Greer. But are being tied to Brian Daboll from Buffalo, the offensive coordinator, Big Dick Daboll, we call him. Vance Joseph, Arizona defensive coordinator. I believe he was a head coach somewhere too, Vance Joseph.
Vance Joseph was the head coach for the Broncos for a year or two.
Right. Kellen Moore, Dolphins are tied to Kellen Moore, and Leslie Frazier, another name who's had head coaching experience. He's defensive coordinator for Buffalo. Would want nothing more than Daboll coming in again. I would love to have Daboll come in, as an offensive minded guy to kind of help build more confidence for Tua.
That's exactly what you need,
but we'll see. We'll see. The Giants did hire Joe Shane as their GM, replacing Dave Gettleman. Shane comes from Buffalo Bills. You see a lot of repetition and regurgitation here. We have Bills. You have Cleveland, who's had a lot of success over the last few years, Indianapolis, Green Bay, LA. A lot of these teams are kind of the next generations of the Belichick tree or the Parcells tree. And, you know, it shows that when a franchise is run properly with the right head coach and GM, the offsprings or the coordinators and other coaches are doing the right thing as well, and they're getting their recognition, especially this offseason. But Giants are tied to Brian Flores, Brian Daboll, Leslie Frazier, and Patrick Graham, their defensive coordinator. They just interviewed him today. Joe Shane did say and give the vote of confidence to the quarterback. Fuck's his name?
Daniel Jones.
Yeah, DJ, Danny Dimes. So they don't look like they're going in any other direction for quarterback this year, at least. But again, another open position. If I'm Joe Shane, you have two top 10 draft picks, right? And you have no head coach, and no quarterback. Here's what you do. And I don't know if I mentioned it on this podcast, but you make two phone calls. You make a phone call to the Seattle Seahawks.
Absolutely.
And you don't get off the phone until you get Russell Wilson.
I don't know why you wouldn't.
Why not?
It's that's the draft capital. That's right. The draft capital that you need. Two first rounders, two picks. Is it both in the top 10?
Both in the top 10.
And then just next year's first and the year after that's first and you get Russell Wilson.
Right.
Do it. I mean, I would hate it. I would hate it as a Cowboys fan, but that's enough draft capital to take a quarterback like him.
Right. And then, although he did quote unquote step away from the team, Sean Payton is still, he didn't retire. He's still with the Saints on paper. You got to call the Saints up and you trade for Sean Payton. You trade, whether it's a first pick or a third round pick or whatever it takes. And you make this nucleus from what it was of Joe Judge and Daniel Jones 4 weeks ago and throw Dave Gettleman in that bus too. And you take that bus and you drive it off the Rocky Mountains. That's Joe Shane, Russell Wilson, and Sean Payton. How about that?
What a turnaround. That would make them, the Giants, the Super Bowl champions of the offseason.
Yep. Texans are being tied to Brian Flores as well. Joe Lombardi, the Chargers offensive coordinator. Hines Ward, Florida Atlantic wide receiver, wide receivers coach. Kevin O'Connell as well. And Josh McCown's name has also been thrown in there. Quarterback. Shout out Josh McCown. And then Raiders, they did hire, or the front runner for their GM position is Ed Dodds, the Indianapolis assistant GM. So another tie to the Colts. As you know, John Gruden is out. Mike Mayock as GM is out. Rich Bisaccia is kind of still in talks with the Raiders, but breaking earlier today, Adam Schefter tweeted out that the Raiders have requested and prioritized the interview process with New England Patriots offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels. So could it be third time a charm for Josh McDaniels? He had some failures in Denver. He hit the U-turn button on his way to Indianapolis a few years ago. If you're the Raiders, do you want McDaniels? And if you're McDaniels, do you want to go to the Raiders?
I think McDaniels should just stay put. I think he could kind of just ride that out until Belichick eventually wants to retire and then take over for Belichick.
Right.
But, I mean, he's probably a top candidate in my eyes. He has so much success underneath Belichick. He knows how to coach. When you're a Patriot, when you're part of the Patriots organization, that says enough about you as a player or coach that they think extremely highly of you. So, I mean, throw the bag at McDaniels. I'm definitely not mad at it.
And then Schefter followed that up with, if McDaniels goes to, I might have said Oakland before, if he goes to Vegas, the favorite to become the new offensive coordinator in New England is, shocker, Bill O'Brien, offensive coordinator.
And life has come full circle.
Circle of life.
It's like you get fired in the NFL, you go coach at Alabama, then you come back to the NFL to your original team.
Yep. But yeah, that breaks down the rest of the coaching circus. We'll continue covering it on the Mush Squad Instagram account at Mush Squad Podcast. We are live on YouTube every week when we post it. We are on Instagram. Follow us on Twitter. We're also now live on Apple Podcasts and Spotify with Google Podcasts to come and Stitcher to come. We are worldwide, baby, from Tokyo to Japan. You know what I mean?
No reason why, with all these different streaming platforms, that anyone should miss an episode.
There is no reason why you can't listen to us or watch the – look at this. This is the moneymaker right here. Okay?
Look at that.
Look at that. Look at this head. Look at this head.
Look at that head, dude.
We're going to go to Stump 12 real quick, continuing with football. All right. Pulling a random football card here. Let's see what we got on the card.
Go easy on me.
All right. Easy question. Here's your 1-point question.
Go for it.
Which NFL franchise won the first two Super Bowls in 1967 and 1968?
The Bart Starr-led Green Bay Packers.
Okay. You'll get this one too because I know you. Two-point question. Which NFL team was offensive tackle Orlando Pace on from 1999 to 2005, where he made the record seven straight All-Pro teams?
Is that the St. Louis Rams?
Bingo, two for two. And again, three-point question. This isn't rigged. This is literally what it says here for 3 points. I'm hoping you get this one, or either that.
Oh, no.
Or you got to give your fandom up because it's a Cowboys question.
Oh, shit.
Which Dallas Cowboys defensive back led the NFL in interceptions three times in 1981, 1982, and 1985? Do you need names?
Yeah, throw him some names. I kind of have an idea because his name was brought up a lot with Diggs this year.
Michael Downs, Dennis Thurman, Everson Walls, or Charlie Waters?
Everson Walls. He had 11, and that's who Trayvon just broke his record this year.
Three for three, my boy. I don't expect anything less from the guru himself.
This is nerve-wracking, bro, because I'm like, I really don't want to get any.
And you really have no idea because, first off, it's a stack of cards. There's 200 cards in here.
For viewership, I kind of was going to ask you, hey, man, just give me the answer beforehand just so that it's really like I'm crazy.
No way. We out here.
This is real. I get nervous every single time I get asked these questions.
Every week. He's 4 for 4. 4 weeks straight. He's got them all. We'll talk about real quick before we hit to my favorite topic of the week. My favorite segment, the Patrick Ramsey Random Athlete of the Week, as always, brought to you by Off the Wall Donuts. One Major League Baseball retired player got inducted and selected into the Hall of Fame. We'll talk more when baseball season rolls around about this. But first and foremost, congratulations to David Ortiz, Big Poppy. Hell of a career, arguably the best designated hitter of all time, part of three World Series championships with the Red Sox. Broke the curse in 2004. Really happy for him. Even as a Yankees fan, I'm flying my Yankees flag today. I'm happy for him. He deserves it. He's a great player. But there are other names on that list and names that are no longer now eligible on the list who, if David Ortiz, a known and accused steroid user, is going to get into the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame, don't understand how players like Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, or listen, Alex Rodriguez, somebody said in our group chat this week, Barry Bonds and Alex Rodriguez are the best baseball players we've seen play in our lifetime. And how neither of them are in the Hall of Fame, it's kind of weird. Yes, they're both steroid users and tied to the steroid allegations, late 90s, early 2000s. But you can't preach and you can't tell the story of baseball without these baseball players.
No, absolutely not. And it's just a shame because even like football, all right, football is a physical sport. Baseball is not that physical. It's more skill than anything. Correct. So you still have to swing the bat fast enough to hit a 90-something miles per hour fastball. Right. So it's a lot of finesse over being physical. Yeah, maybe they took juice to the ball went instead of 400 yards and went 450 or whatever the case may be. But it's just, man, they were so fun to watch growing up. A-Rod with the Rangers, with the Mariners, and then eventually with the Yankees. That he was such a stud. Barry Bonds, when he broke the record with the short porch in right field, hitting it into the water and everyone on the canoes fighting for the baseball. It was so fun. And just for that aspect of it, they deserve to be in the Hall of Fame just for making those memories for fans, for the game of baseball, for everything. And just put them in, man. That's Jesus real. Christ.
For real. I got one more trivia question for you here.
Baseball. Oh God. Okay.
Barry Bonds is one of two players in Major League Baseball history to be intentionally walked with the bases loaded. Do you know who the other one is? it's difficult.
What team or
he was at the time a Texas Ranger. He had really good seasons with the Texas Rangers, and then he collected a bag and went to the Los Angeles Angels and then fell off a cliff. And
Josh Hamilton.
Yep. Yeah. Imagine having. That's
crazy, bro.
You'd rather give up run.
I hope they're winning the game at this moment, though. I need to go back and look up. Some research.
It was 1999. Bonds got intentionally walked. It was against the Diamondbacks. Buck Showalter was the manager. The Diamondbacks were up 7-5.
Okay. Yeah.
Walked Bonds to make it 7-6, and then the next guy popped out to win. They would end the
game. Oh, coaching guru.
All right. That wraps up MLB. Let's get to the Patrick Ramsey Random Athlete of the Week. This week's topic, quarterbacks who played in the Super Bowl but never won the Super Bowl. So there's a good list, a lot of names, a lot of good names. I got 4 for you, 12. 3 you'll get, no question. Because you know what, my boy is one of them, and you'll get it immediately.
I got 4 as well, and I honestly tried not to make this one too hard because they're all going to be names that you know. So I think you should go 4 for 4.
I hope so. I'll go first. I'll start you off with the softball, little meatball up the middle here. Ready?
Okay.
This quarterback played in 1 Super Bowl, losing to a tremendous defense. He has ties to 3 different colleges, but is known most for his time in the SEC. The NFC team he was on the year before they went to the Super Bowl was 7-8-1. And the year they went to the Super Bowl, 15-1. Any guesses yet?
No.
Okay. The year he took his team to the Super Bowl, he was Pro Bowler, All-Pro, and named MVP, 3,837 yards, 35 touchdowns, and then an additional 636 rushing yards and 10 rushing touchdowns. The loss in the Super Bowl was a score of 24-10 to the Broncos with a defense led by Von Miller.
Is this, what's his name? Cam Newton.
Yes, sir. Bro, he had 10 rushing touchdowns that year. He won MVP.
That's crazy. He was such a good football player, man. He was so fun to watch.
Remember when they had the big fight in Meadowlands? It was Josh Norman and Odell had the big fight.
Oh, yeah. Like
that was just happening
back and forth.
Right in front of me.
Yeah, just back and forth and back and forth. That was fun.
Sir. All right, you're up.
I know it's hard because you can't even say the team name because the team name's kind of gonna give it away. So I'm gonna try this. Okay. This one should be okay. My guy is 0-4 in the Super Bowl.
Okay.
He's from the University of Miami. You got it? You know it?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It's Jim Kelly with the
Bills. Yes.
I was going to say it after the first one.
0-4, bro.
But it's not just 0-4. It's 4 straight losses.
4 straight Super Bowl losses, bro.
When I was doing research, and again, I don't want to name names here, but there's a specific quarterback who went to the Super Bowl, who didn't win it, who went to 5 straight NFC championships. And I thought that was crazy. And only made the Super Bowl once out of those 5. But Jim Kelly made it to the Super Bowl 4 straight years and lost all 4 times.
Can you imagine being a Buffalo Bills fan during that time? Like, oh, we're in the Super Bowl. Maybe this is the year. Nope. Oh, we're back. Maybe now this is the year. It's like, bro, what the hell?
Yeah, I feel for Bills fans. Believe me.
And then you just lose like that last week. Not to rub salt in the wound, but God damn.
I will say one cool thing. I saw Chiefs fans are donating to Josh Allen's charity of choice. $13 for the 13 seconds, and it's up to like 350,000 right now, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. They're
class act.
Class act.
All right, this is your boy here. This is your boy. Ready?
All right.
This quarterback won MVP the year his team made it to the Super Bowl. He spent time with four NFL franchises, but the team he made it to the Super Bowl with was his final destination, the fourth team. Okay. So team A, team B, team C, team D is the team he took to the Super Bowl. He spent five seasons with this team. His MVP year, the Super Bowl year, he had 4,700 yards, 26 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. The team was 11-5 and represented the AFC in the Super Bowl and lost by a score of 48-21. The main reason that he and his AFC team lost is because he threw a Super Bowl record 5 interceptions in the game, with 3 being pick sixes to this Tampa Bay Bucs defense.
Rich Gannon,
the cannon.
We doubled up.
We doubled?
Yeah, with him.
All right. That's okay. That's all right.
That was a hell of a team. Even Oakland was a really good team, and that Tampa Bay defense is freaking ridiculous.
3 pick sixes in the Super Bowl. Derek Brooks had two. No, Derek Brooks had one.
And then Dexter Jackson was the Super Bowl MVP. He was the Super Bowl MVP with that.
And Rondae Barber had a pick too in that
game. Yeah, that was something else.
Yeah, that was crazy. All right. So we doubled up. Listen, only a limited amount of names. So
it is a limited amount of names without being like throwing one to the dogs. Like, there's no chance in hell that he's going to get this guy.
Yep. All right. Go ahead.
My guy is 0-1 as a starting quarterback in the Super Bowl. He lost to the Patriots. He went undrafted in 1997 out of the University of Louisiana. He is a 2005 Pro Bowler. His career stats are 126 touchdowns to 101 interceptions and 20,000 passing yards. He spent time. I don't know if I want to give it to teams just yet.
All right. Don't give me the team. How many teams?
4 teams.
Okay. And So he lost to the Patriots. So it's got to be. Let me do process of elimination here. So Patriots beat Warner and the Rams. Patriots beat McNabb and the Eagles. McNabb got drafted. He was at Syracuse, I think. Wait, it's not. Is it Warner?
No.
All right. So it's not Warner. It's not McNabb. They beat Jared Goff. Goff got drafted. Who else is the Patriots? I know. Is it Jake Delhomme?
Yes.
Jake Delhomme with the Panthers. Okay. Jake Delhomme, what a name.
What a year, man. They had Steve Smith, Musheem Muhammad.
Yeah.
Steven Davis, Deshaun Foster.
Deshaun Foster, too, yeah. Damn. All right. This is my boy. I have all the quarterbacks who have lost Super Bowls. This is my boy. This QB played in one Super Bowl, losing a last-second loss to their NFC opponent. Because of the playoff run and his play, his team rewarded him with a contract extension following the Super Bowl loss. A 6-year, $47 million contract extension, which is less than Patrick Mahomes is making this year. Although he did not throw for or run for a touchdown in the Super Bowl, he did have 278 all-purpose yards in the game, and he has one MVP trophy to his name, an honor he shared with another quarterback that season. Who is this quarterback?
Your boy, your number one pal, Air McNair, Steve McNair.
Air McNair, baby. Love that guy. I had that jersey when he was on the Titans, bro. Ooh.
That was another team. That was another team. Freaking very talented team.
Frank Wycheck. Eric Mason. Eric Mason.
Kevin Dyson.
Bro, Eddie George. Eddie George had like 180 yards rushing in the Super Bowl.
Eddie George, because he was such a stud in the league.
Eddie George from?
The Ohio State University. Sure.
All right. You have one left or you're done?
I got one left. This one's easy, though.
Okay.
My guy is 0-1 in the Super Bowl. He lost to the Patriots as well. He's a 2016 first overall pick. You said his name last time trying to guess people.
Mr. Jared Goff.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So that's 3-3. Because we doubled up on one. If you get this, you win. If you don't get it, if you don't get it, I win.
Oh shit.
And it's the hardest one of my four, too. So I saved it for last.
Son of a beast thing.
All right, here we go. Ready? This quarterback led his NFC team to a 14-2 regular season record. A Pro Bowler in the year they went to the Super Bowl. He finished the season with 3,154 yards and 25 touchdowns. He was drafted by the Colts, spent time with the Tampa Bay Bucks, the Phoenix Cardinals, the Los Angeles Rams, and the Houston Oilers before reaching his final destination, which was the team he brought to the Super Bowl. He brought this team to the Super Bowl. In his final season, 2004, as a member of the St. Louis Rams, so he went Los Angeles Rams and St. Louis Rams, he threw six interceptions in just over three quarters, which is still a team record. His Super Bowl team from the Dirty South was led by a ground game and a famous Dirty Bird dance.
Chris Chandler.
Yes, sir. Chris Chandler. Bro, it's crazy. I was looking through all these quarterbacks. Like, Rich Gannon was a stud throwing the ball. His MVP year, he had 4,700 yards. Cam Newton, his MVP year, accounted for 4,600 yards all-purpose and 45 touchdowns. Chris Chandler, okay, was a Pro Bowler at 3,200 yards and 25 touchdowns, which is like what Tua does. Okay? Crazy. So, yes, Garris, another Garris victory.
Ooh, that was hard fought.
Listen.
Hard fought.
Going back through some of our text chains over the last few weeks, I'm excited for college basketball. Patrick Ramsey, Random Athletes of the Week.
Yeah. Oh, big time.
And we got one lined up for next week for the Super Bowl, another Super Bowl one. But yeah, as always, brought to you by the Mush Squad. The Mush Squad podcast is brought to you by Off the Wall Donuts, as is the Patrick Ramsey Random Athlete of the Week. Young 12, one last segment to go. The Mush Squad Bet of the Week. Now, I preface it by saying you and I have never been this shitty, okay? We've lost five straight and six of our last eight. So, needless to say, we are on Antarctica when it comes to bets. But that all ends this week.
Absolutely. I'm feeling it.
You can't start a winning streak without you winning your first game, okay? And this is a new week. We talked about conference championship weekend. We kind of talked about it before we started recording. We're both leaning towards using these games for our bets of the week. I'll go first, and then I'll kind of give the floor to you. The Kansas City Chiefs are going to beat the Cincinnati Bengals. It will be a high-scoring event, as was their matchup against the Buffalo Bills, where the Buffalo Bills was a much better defense than the Cincinnati Bengals are. And the spread is 7. I like where the Chiefs are playing at home. I like them hosting their fourth straight AFC Conference Championship game at home. And that offense is firing on all cylinders. We talked about Mahomes before in the final two possessions of the game, which was like the last 3 minutes and 11 seconds, he had 270 yards and two touchdowns. Okay, not bad.
Like
my Mush Squad bet of the week, Chiefs minus -7. Lock it up.
I like it. Chiefs have been here. They know what it takes to get here. Bengals are a young team. They're hot, but they lack experience, which you need in the playoffs. Yeah, I'll ride with it. I like it a lot. Bengals are scary, though, but I still like it.
Yep. Who you got?
All right. The Rams are the definition of going all in on a season. They made the trades.
Keep going. I'll be right back.
They made the trades. They got Von Miller in. They have zero draft picks in the coming years. They have no money to spend on anybody. They brought in Odell. You know what you're going to get. Great game plan. Great defensive scheme. Cooper Kupp's going to get his touches. Stafford's going to sling the ball up and down the field. They lost, like you said, they lost to the Niners twice already. And that's it. They're going to beat them by more than 3 points. I actually, when I seen the spread of the game, when it first came out, I couldn't believe that it was only -3.5, especially after they just went into Tampa and beat Tampa. But with that high-powered offense and that defensive rush with Aaron Donald, Von Miller, Jalen Ramsey, I just think it's not even going to be a close game. And I think the Rams are just going to – they're going to run away with it.
My bad. Someone rang the bell. I'm on par. We were discussing it before. I think the Rams hosting the game. I think Stafford finally getting to the level he's due. And I'd love to see Stafford, McVay, and this defense. I think this defense is as good as they are, still kind of underrated a little bit.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because of how potent the offense with Cooper Kupp and all the weapons and Odell playing Odell football. I think the team's a little underrated on the defensive side. So I like where your head's at. I'm aligned on that. I'm taking the Rams too. So our two Mush Squad bets of the week to wrap up the podcast. We're taking the Chiefs -7 at home, AFC Conference Championship. We're taking the Rams -3.5 at home, NFC Conference Championship. Young 12, any last words for LeBron or anybody?
Yeah, I definitely need to holler at my boy LeBron for a second. Lakers are 24-24, and 2 day rest after they just went into Brooklyn and beat Brooklyn. They're in Philly right now, and LeBron's sitting out for absolutely no reason. And they're down by 10 with 2 minutes left to go in the second quarter. But LeBron, Mr. Ego himself, could care less.
And that is the end of the Mush Squad podcast. Again, follow us. We're building everything. We're up on Facebook now, too, the Mush Squad podcast. All you got to do is click one of the links in our social media. Brings you to the link tree that has all of our links. Our YouTube link, our Spotify link, Apple Podcasts, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We are worldwide. No excuses to not listen to the podcast. Cool?
Worldwide.
At Mush Squad Podcast. Once again, appreciate you, Young 12. We'll see you next week, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, let's win these bets, please.
Please. We got to win. Let's do it.